Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
This is U504's companion podcast, in which we can categorically state that there will be no hot air balloons, nor indeed no notion that Tony Mowbray will ever actually become manager of England, at least not in the next couple of weeks.
Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Thank you very much. In the studio, it's Rob Nichols, as ever, anchoring the whole thing, but three fabulous souls who are all sort of committed together, one of whom is married to a passionate Borough fan, has followed through a whole range of things, etc., probably felt the gutting feeling when Sunderland scored without allowing to go to penalties, etc. Charles Arthur, a keen yachts person, and indeed top rugby coordinator, etc., but always got something to think about, the positivity of the boroughs, they part of the whole pack, etc., and of course Jill Prowse from Revenue and Customs, keeping a weather eye out on those financial issues as well.
Yes, I was just commenting on Rangers and the things I'd heard on the news this morning, that was all.
It's very important there, Rob. So here we are, and I see that your editorial, once again, did the business, effectively. A sort of classic line here that it's time to actually move on. We desperately need to put this right tonight against Steve Cotterill's faltering Forest. Borough must chop down the tricky trees tonight and make it a Valentine's Night massacre for the Midlanders.
And we did.
Exactly.
Just.
Two glorious goals to one and a sending off for Kevin Thompson, but it was 3 points.
Yeah, at least we got the game finished, unlike the one at Ipswich on the Saturday.
So that hot air balloon that people were playing a great, and then it sort of started freezing itself.
Yeah.
And we got into, 37 minutes?
Yeah.
0-0?
Yeah, it was appalling to actually get the bus there all the way. Two pitch inspections. Then the game goes ahead to be called off after 37 minutes. Obviously shouldn't have started. And the catch is that once the game started, you don't get your money back. But fortunately,
unless
clubs got together and decided that we should get our money back. And free transport we're going to get for the rematch, which is only fair, really, because it shouldn't have started in the first place. But yeah, the Forest game was really important because we haven't won this year in the league. And we only just got over the line, limping over with 10 men. But we did it, and I think it'll, in the end, it'll be an incredibly important 3 points, that.
Absolutely.
Do they replay the match then if it's abandoned? Is that what they do?
Yeah, it's got to be. It's going to be played in March, but it'll be midweek. So to Ipswich makes it much more difficult for everybody to go to. It was just. It was a bizarre scenario because, as Alex said, it was the hot air balloon over the pitch rather than undersoil heating.
Right.
And when the hot air balloon was taken away, apparently the pitch was playable, but it froze again. And really, they should have realised that it was going to freeze again. Mm. 37 minutes, there's not a lot. That's not very long, really. They should have, they inspected it at 2 o'clock and they should have realised that that pitch was not ready.
Unlucky.
Unlucky, but still, you know, it could be an extra 3 points that could benefit all sorts of things. Because there is a pack.
Yeah.
I mean, looking at the league, you've got probably any three of
very
12
tight.
Teams could actually go up at present. You're talking, I mean, I can't believe Middlesbrough, even after the win against Nottingham Forest, still sitting in eighth position.
We lost a lot of games, didn't we? As we said, it was our first win of the year. It's quite a long way in the year. So now we've got to get on a good run. With players coming back to fitness, that should help. But the league is so tight, you string two or three games together and wins or loses or losses and you go up or down the table quite dramatically. So we've got to make sure that we finish the season strongly, really. If we finish the season like we finished last season, then we'll go up. Simple as that.
Stocks and shares, you know.
Yeah.
So we're working our way through that. Go up as well as down, but we'll go up.
I'd just like to ask, is it better to be in a sort of winning...
Yeah.
lower league and to win your games and to have everybody buzzing and maybe just miss out on promotion but be able to win a lot of games, then get promoted to the Premier League and just get thrashed every day and then come back down again?
I know, it's the thing that everyone says when they're in that position in the Premier League, they get bored quite quickly and then they say, I wish we were near the top of the Championship, it's better. But when you actually get into the Championship, you skim off about 10 or 15,000 of your supporters because most people are into the sort of celebrity culture, I think, and Premiership football comes into that celebrity culture. Mm-hmm. So you're sitting in a half-empty stadium, you get no revenue coming in whatsoever, and how do you get out of that? It's a.
But do more people come and watch a losing team in the Premier League
yeah.
and a winning team in the Championship?
They come to watch the Man United and people like that.
Right.
It's quite sad, I think.
Mm.
But it's always been the case to an extent. That all the time I've been watching football, that you get far, far bigger crowds when you're in the top league and you get far bigger crowds to see the opposition, which is, it is sad, because you're right, in many respects it's much more enjoyable to watch your team It's a much fairer league, isn't it? Mm. And to see your team winning more games. But I'm in a minority.
Mm. Fair enough.
And I don't want to be sitting on my own.
We clearly have to mention the debacle that was the Sunderland game. I mean, it was so close and yet so far.
It was a good game, that. I mean, I'm not a football fan, but I watched it on the telly. And I thought Borough were... I was really quite proud of them because they're full of young lads. And not only that, but the young lads from around the area.
Yeah.
You know, they were all from... They're all young lads and they're all from the local area. Whereas, you know, Manchester City, well...
Steady.
You know... Or Man United, or Arsenal, or the top Premier League teams. They're not even... They've no connection with the local area. I remember when I was a young lad, I used to support Liverpool when they were sort of winning everything. And most of the guys there were from round about Liverpool. There's people like Alan Hansen and, you know, and Tommy Smith and that guy, what was he called, with the big nose, Thompson. Pinocchio, he's called him. And even the top...
It was the core of the team, wasn't it, from Liverpool?
The core of the teams... had some sort of connection with the club, whether it was a Birmingham or Manchester. They had some sort of connection, but these days it's just all about money, isn't it? And
yeah, sadly, and that's all. That's actually changing with the academies. So Middlesbrough are going to have to fight that the new rules are that Premier League clubs can set up academies wherever they want in the country and take the best kids if they want. Mm. So, but hopefully, parents realise that the best bet is to stay with the local team because they've got the kids have got more chance to get in that team. But that they're going to be fighting against the Arsenals and Man United. Maybe they might set up an academy in Middlesbrough or Stockton and say, "Look, join us. Look at the money that you could earn." And maybe, sadly, some people might be swayed to that, but they've probably got absolutely no chance of getting in the team. I'm dead against that happening. I think it's supposed to be to benefit English football, but I think it's to benefit Premier League clubs completely again.
So the Arsenal could come and set up an academy in Colby Newham or somewhere?
Basically, what a club like Arsenal and Man United could do is get in touch with Martin, or I think, as far as I understand it, a club that's already existing and make them their academy club. That's a possible way in, working with them.
Yeah.
On Fly Me to the Moon, podcast companion today, we'll be also finding out the source of the quote, "I remember I came into the team thinking I was a star, but then I was treated like a little kid by this Ravenelli, who thought he was bigger than everyone." I'll find out who actually said that, plus, of course, the answer to a competition that you're actually running in association with the FA. Who would have thought? There we are, Rob Nichols.
Who would have thought?
That's
what
I thought. You know, the notion of the FA, that sort of England manager's post is actually there, that actually, as its prize, actually awarded tickets for the England under-21 game on the 29th of February at the Riverside. We'll find out the answer to that. In fact, I'll roll it around because, I mean, you know, Jill Price might be a finger on the pulse of this one. Ladies, do you know which Borough forward made his debut for England in the 1962 World Cup?
Not a clue.
No. It's just as well it is. Deal breaker on that particular. We'll find the answer to that and more. I'll fly to the moon after this.
Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.
I wanted to find out from a real solicitor what happens when you let your insurance company look after your car accident claim. So I spoke to Charles Atha of Atha & Co.
Insurance companies make money from selling your claim to their own legal people. If you want solicitors who you can speak to face to face, someone who worked to achieve the best possible offer of compensation, you're better off choosing someone you know.
Someone you know? That sounds familiar, Charles.
Choose the one you know, Abba and Co.
Call 01642-22575 or text ADVICE to 81400 now.
With over 80 ensuite bathrooms and a high quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualified nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides a perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs.
A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate residential, elderly EMI and nursing service users, offering both short and long-stay accommodation as well as respite and daycare.
To find out more, please telephone 01642 308 188.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. What is Southside Broadcasting? We're a media company which aims to provide a unique range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. That's why you can listen to such golden audio nuggets as our regular interviews with correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York, Frankfurt and London. Take part in our Literary Book of the Month features. Check out nutritional advice and follow our coverage of badminton, Burley, the Great Yorkshire Show, the Newark and Notts Show and the Lincolnshire Shows, as well as the Tullet Prebon London Boat Show and many more. You can listen to these and many more podcasts on southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join or reach the over 35,000 folk who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsideradio.com now.
100 strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on.
Slow down. And one tablespoon. Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right. What was the recipe?
Oh, if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. We offer excellent short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare. To find out more, please telephone 01642 22 3334. That's 01642 22 3334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
If an insurance company representative knocks at your door and tries to get you to accept a cheque following a motor accident, what should you do? Let's ask Charles Ather.
What you should do is be very suspicious. If they're offering payment before you've even made a claim, then I believe they must think your claim is worth far more. Whatever you do, don't sign away your rights.
So if you're approached in this way,
remember, you have a right to choose your own solicitor and get a proper assessment of your claim.
Call Middlesbrough 222-575 or text advice to 81400 now. Choose the one.
I'm Ollie Brownlee, BBC T's Borough commentator, and you're listening to Rob Nichols on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Thank you, Alistair.
Yeah, it's always nice to see that we actually get this thing sorted through, etc. So, Jill Press, Jill Appleton have actually headed off into the wild blue yonder because they just thought it's too much, all this money, we can't cope with it, basically.
That's right, they
spend
can't.
It. You know, it's important from that point of view. And before we find out the source of the quote about, I remember I came into the team thinking I was a star, but then I was treated like a little kid by this Ravenelli who thought he was bigger than everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's look at the latest feature on the Dorman Museum, because I don't know, Charles, if you're familiar with the fact that the Dorman Museum is hosting a museum until April, Back from the Brink, a wonderful sort of celebration of times past, and Gordon Jones was actually present at said museum recently.
Yes, the post-war appearance record holder for Middlesbrough, over 500 games for his local team. That's not likely to happen again, is it, really?
I don't know.
He was having a look around at all the memorabilia. He was really interested in some of the older stuff to people that even he makes the point that he's been playing and supporting the club for over 50 years, which is quite a long portion of its history, and the whole of the history of the football club is represented at that exhibition. I think it's quite fascinating, from like books that have the accounts books from the 1890s right through to Bernie Slaven's hat-trick footballs in the 80s and the early 90s. So it's and of course the key bit of it is memorabilia attached to 1986, when we were 37 minutes from going out of business. Darlington have pushed that well beyond 37 minutes. They're in the extra time of that situation, but just shows you, we're talking about Portsmouth.
They always like
and
to be
Rangers.
One up, don't they?
Do,
Darlington,
yeah.
Really, yeah.
It's still, but it's a warning to so many clubs, because it's still happening now. Clubs going into administration, Rangers and Portsmouth, the latest that we're seeing, and we see that how close Middlesbrough came, and it's a sad fact that maybe football hasn't put its house in order. Middlesbrough have. They learnt their lessons.
They should just run their football clubs like proper businesses, like Alan Sugar tried to do at Tottenham, and in the end he just had to walk away from it because he couldn't break through the sort of culture of sort of non-commercial way that these clubs are run.
It's a pursuit of power, isn't it?
It is, and it's vanity as well by the people who actually own the clubs.
Yeah.
You know, you can look at it at Darlington on a much smaller scale, where this businessman apparently came in from Cheshire or somewhere, claiming that he had loads of money. He didn't actually have any of the money that he claimed he had, and he just wanted to run. He just wanted to be chairman of a football club for sort of vanity, really. He had no other reason to do it, and I think it's sad that the game is sort of he's just controlled by these millionaires, who most of them don't even live in this country, and just own football clubs like baubles, and that's what they are.
Well, this is the other side of the coin, isn't it, this exhibition, because this is largely being donated by supporters, and this shows that the memorabilia, that is, and it shows that what a football club represents to its community. And obviously Middlesbrough are lucky in having a chairman that's from the town and very much based everything that they do around the community of Middlesbrough. They're an exception. It's sad that they are, but and they're also an example of how you can rebuild from almost the brink of extinction.
Well, they've done that several times. They're a bit like Lazarus. They just keep coming back, don't they?
Yeah.
We won't talk about the Millwall game as yet, which is, of course, the next joyous trip to London that you're looking forward
to.
Right. But as both Jules have actually left us, started off the whole thing, we can actually reveal the answer to that question, which Borough Forward made his debut for England in the 1962 World Cup,
62.
I should say. Yes, it was.
It was Alan Peacock, forward Alan Peacock, who was formerly the strike partner of Brian Clough. And it's an amazing thing, isn't it, to actually get your debut for your country in a World Cup.
Yeah.
I think it was very controversial at the time, because we were the second flight. We weren't even in the top league. Alan Peacock was a really good forward. He joined Leeds United from us and then broke his leg. If he hadn't have broken his leg, Alan Peacock might have been the famous, might have been their centre-forward throughout their historic period in the 60s. He might have been the centre-forward in the 1966 World
Cup.
Could
have been Jeff Hurst, of course. We did have Harold Shepherdson for quite some time. So
we did.
He was the coach there.
Yes.
Always used to sort of take part of the old Ayres and Park scenario here. Charles, you mentioned you'd watched the Sunderland game, which I thought was interesting, the things from there. The 113th minute was when it was finally axed by a Frenchman, of course, Cessignon. I generally thought it was actually going to extra time, or penalties, I should say. So indeed did our Leeds United supporting man Jerry Cookies. He'd also thought
did
it was
he?
A penalty.
Yeah, it looked it, didn't it?
Yeah, but it wasn't, and at least he got Jukovic off the mark.
Absolutely, and then he scored in midweek against Forest for a league goal at the Riverside.
Yep.
He looks a really good player. And of course, another player that featured really well in those two games was Curtis Mayne, who was... He was making his debut against Sunderland. He was thrown into it because nobody else was fit, and he looked so good and so strong up front. He came on against Forest in the last few minutes and again looked phenomenal. The only way they could stop him was by chopping him down, which they did two or three times. He looks a real prospect. I suppose we shouldn't... He's only started one game, so we shouldn't push too much on him.
Well, that should be enough for £1 million a week contract, surely. Current sort of criteria.
Well, he's a man, actually, who was given a free transfer from Darlington.
Right.
Last season.
The source of the quote I remember I came into the team thinking I was a star, but then I was treated like a little kid by this Ravanelli, who thought he was bigger than everyone. Well, we actually had 60 goals. So Ravanelli 33, Giannino 14 or 15, and of course the other gentleman was
Mikkel Beck.
Yes, former Barry striker, now working as a sports agent based in Belgium.
Yep.
Back to Belgium again, and I think possibly one of the longest interviews we've actually had in Fly Me to the Moon. A five-pager.
It's fascinating, though. I mean, it's done by Mark McElverney, who was actually working in Belgium, and he met Mikkel Beck. He wrote to him and then met him, and Mikkel Beck bought his lunch for him, and they did the interview together. I don't know what language they did the interview in, but it is a complete exclusive and really fascinating for a player that joined Middlesbrough when we were really at the peak of our powers, if you like, and he lived through that season, that incredible 96-97 with all the cup finals and the
relegation.
And the relegation.
3-point deduction.
Yeah, what do people say? Not four weddings and a funeral, but four cup finals and a funeral, whatever. And he lived through all that, and there's some really good sort of... He's looking back at it now, and looking back at that time has been the height of his career, the highlights of his career, but also tinged with so many regrets. So it's really interesting.
It's interesting, that interview, I find, where they apparently lost everything. They got relegated. They lost all these cup finals.
Yeah,
and yet they had a sort of parade through the town.
I know, it's incredible, isn't it? And they were shocked. The footballers themselves were shocked by the fact that it was absolutely packed, the streets, because it was just an insane season, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, they get relegated. They lose all those cup finals, and yet you'd think they won the league when they parade through the town.
Who would have thought that irony in Middlesbrough Football Club would go together in one sentence? But still, life continues. Millwall, as we mentioned, is the next game up.
Yeah.
I hesitate to say it must be 3 points, etc., because it's a challenging time. I mean, you've got that sort of balance where technically, yes, a good run could put them into the top two. I still tend to think it's mostly going to be playoffs because of the way things are going, but in interesting times.
Yeah, I think we definitely need to string a good few results together now, but the good thing about the Millwall game is that we're lucky in some respects of going out of the cup, and that they're still in the cup. It's pushed back to Tuesday. By Tuesday, we might have two or three more players fit to pick between, because we've had a very thin squad at the moment. But if we've got Barry Robson, who we've just heard is about to go to Canada, he's joining a Canadian club in the summer, which is very sad for us, but he's going to start a new life there. We could have Barry Robson fit, we could have Faris Haroun fully fit, maybe we could have Nicky Bailey back, which we've really missed Nicky Bailey. We've gone backwards without him, so that could have a big immediate impact, and hopefully let's hope we get a minimum of a draw at Millwall. Last season we won, but it was an incredibly tense game. It was went from one side to the other, and there was all that shenanigans with their fans trying to stop the game, and it was a real sort
standard
of
standard Millwall people.
Yeah, it was a turning point that we feel in the season. Actually, it really sort of brought us together and got us fires off on a run. If you can do the same thing again, if you feel like you're playing against adversity, then this, if we could put on a run from now on to the end of the season, then that would be absolutely phenomenal.
Quite literally into the Lions' Den.
Into the Lions' Den, yeah.
Marvellous stuff on that basis. Charles, have you enjoyed your time on the Fly Me to the Moon podcast?
I always enjoy, my mornings down here, Alex. Thank you very much for inviting me.
And how do people subscribe to Fly Me to the Moon? If they've been listening to this, free of charge, obviously. It says you there. It's all free, and we don't mind. You can listen to it as often as you want. Free remains so, as long as we can have breath in our body, etc. But you can't have any substitute.
No, not for the real thing, not for the real paper thing.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
How do they get on there?
I think you should email me at this stage, because I'll have to work it out on my calculator, because we haven't got too many games left. But please do. It's robshrug, robshrug, @gmail.com, or write to us at Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Gilkes Street, Gilkes, Middlesbrough, TS1, 5, A for Alan, P for Peacock.
The first Borough forward who made his debut for England in the 1962 World Cup.
The very same.
We congratulate the winners for that. We haven't got their names. I'm sure we could have a roll of honour sometime around the whole basis, but a real treat for that, of course, on Leap Year Day. Interesting if anybody proposes, gets marriage proposals, because wasn't there a thing where basically women can propose on the 29th?
Yes, that's right. We're all waiting, aren't we? could be another reason to go down the riverside. You might find yourself in the middle of the pitch.
Precisely, exactly. just completely in all sorts
a big
of ways.
Surprise,
exactly.
And it's also 8 years. 8 years to the day that we won our one cup at the Millennium Stadium. It was the Leap Year Day. 8 years before.
Now, you see, Rob, you're forgetting the Anglo-Scottish Cup of 1976.
I am, yeah.
I mean, I was at that final. I saw John Hickton convert the penalty against Fulham, I believe.
No, you remember wrong. We actually won 1-0 over two legs, and it was an own goal. That's why I forget about it, because we actually won a cup on an own goal.
And that's why I'm a Man City fan. But right, the last seven words. I think Charles will be familiar with this, but he needs to obviously be just briefed in terms of what he should be saying from this point of view. And in fact, actually,
You didn't, because
if we can do that, we'd have three big points as well, which could be a legal aspect, which I won't want to talk about, basically. So it's quite simply, come on, Borough, and up the Borough. After three gentlemen, a one, a two, a three.
Come on, Burr.
Up the Burr.
Fly me to the moon. The podcast with Rob Nichols and friends.